Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. Greg Cosell in a couple of minutes, our NFL meat sandwich. You bet football, you play fantasy football, you just love football. Deshaun Watson's demanding a trade. We've laid out some scenarios. San Francisco's the best place. The Jets probably makes the most sense for the Texans. Really comes down to, would Deshaun Watson play for Robert Saleh? If the answer is yes, that's the one that's going to get done. I just looked at all the odds on it. Houston and the Jets. San Francisco's by, could also make it work.
Well, they have the most capital.
I mean, Niners could give you picks. They could give you players.
The Jets have the most capital.
Oh, Jets could give you this year's first, next year's. I mean, the Jets have nothing but picks. And they can give you a quarterback.
They can give you Sam Darnold and the second overall pick.
I mean, just listen, play Darnold for a year. Like, and that gives you, if Darnold plays okay.
You're never going to get equal value for Deshaun Watson, but that's pretty close.
Let me tell you something. The Houston situation is bad. Like, this is going to be terrible. This is going to, the coach they just hired is 65 years old and has never been a coordinator. It's not going to work. I'm going to tell you right now, Detroit Dan Campbell's not going to work. David Culley, it's not going to work. I'm going to make a guarantee. They're not going to work. Check back in 3-4 years. My guess is Culley's going to be a disaster. Going to be an absolute disaster. Dan Campbell's going to fail. I don't know if it's a disaster, but it'll fail. This was the weirdest year. I thought it was a great year for candidates. I thought it was a terrible year for hires. I think the hires are all weird. You know, it's funny. The NFL people, you know, they can get a little parochial. Ah, college football. Urban Meyer may be the best hire. He's going to get Trevor Lawrence. Got a lot of cap space. Free agents like a place with no state tax and warm weather. And to be honest with you, he's going to crush the draft for 3 years. He's going to do a Pete Carroll first 3 years in Seattle. All these NFL guys, there's a chance they all whiff. I do think Brandon Staley with the Chargers, it's hard to whiff with that GM, that roster, and that quarterback. They're going to have some success there. Some. I don't know how much. Urban Meyer could be the best hire. You know, it's funny about this. I don't love... This morning as a team, we were doing this, and what Deshaun Watson did is very NBA. Generally, I don't love that. And I also, here's the problem, and this is why I'm okay with Deshaun doing it, and I'm also okay with an Eli Manning saying, I'm not going to the Chargers. I think the franchise tag is awful for players. I think it's great if you're an owner. I mean, the Cowboys can keep, we want him. It never forces the owner's hand. The owners are like, Dak, maybe, maybe not. Cowboys, make a move or not. You in or not? Can you imagine if Fox could just keep giving me one-year contracts? You into me or not? Well, you're very expensive. Also, very talented. The point being, when an owner's not forced into a long-term agreement, advantage owners. The NFL Players Association and the next CBA, you got to get rid of that franchise tag. Because the franchise tag is the reason I defend Deshaun Watson doing this, and the reason I would have defended Trevor Lawrence saying no to the Jets if they got the number one pick. I do think he and Urban will work. Now, if you could get rid of the franchise tag, then I think you just go into the NFL, wherever it is, you play the 4 years, 5 years, and then you move. You got another 8 years to play. And a college kid, just go, make it work, it stinks, you're out in 4 or 5 years. But a franchise tag, a quarterback is trapped. And by the way, there's a big difference between being trapped for 4 years and 7 or 8. Ask Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck, if he could have left Indy after 4, would be playing today. But another 3 years on those ribs getting whacked, and they got lacerated kidneys, and you fall apart. So you my takeaway here, as long as the franchise tag exists, and I hate it, I think it's awful for the players. Anytime a company or a corporation doesn't have to commit to you, win for the rich guys. So I think it stinks for players. And I generally take the player side on stuff. But as long as we have it, I'm for guys like Deshaun doing this. And just saying, I'm out. You guys are incompetent. I'm out. Greg Cosell now joining us, 41 years NFL Films. Does every Thursday. You know, it's interesting. Deshaun is not the most elegant passer, but he's a remarkable athlete. If I said to you, you know, all these teams out there, is there an offense, a structure that he actually fits in, and maybe one, I mean, is there a place, like we said San Francisco,
they don't, right.
And I think to myself, but that is so run-centric, and Kyle Shanahan likes to control things. Would that be the best place for him to run around and do Deshaun? What do you make of that?
I mean, I think Deshaun Watson can play in structure. And in fact, I thought he had his best stretch of this season, Colin. And it might have been, I can't remember the exact weeks, but it was about a 6-week period where he actually played more in structure than moving around. And I thought that was his best stretch of this season by far. He certainly can play in structure. And I think that that's the goal. You and I both know that no coach rolls the ball out and says, let's run around and see what happens today. I mean, obviously, there have been times he's played not behind a great O-line, although I think the O-line got better. I think he's always walked a very fine line between playing within structure and leaving the pocket prematurely. I think he walks that line. I think because he's so good playing off schedule – that he can make plays and compensate for that at times, but I don't think he has a problem playing within structure if the structure works.
All right, then San Francisco would work. You know, Matt Stafford's interesting. I read a story this morning, a third of the NFL is interested in Matt Stafford, and it's like 12 years, 4 winning seasons. Now, I'm not saying it's ideal in Cleveland, but Andrew Luck went 11-5, 11-5, 11-5 with no Pro Bowlers. Deshaun Watson's winning in chaos. Carson Wentz won a division with chaos. There is a point. If Case Keenum could win that division, if Trubisky could get to the playoffs twice, if Teddy Bridgewater can win, I do look at that and I think to myself, Greg, I've seen NBA guys who have, quote, talent, and they can never win a playoff series. Like, what is it with Stafford? Is it just incompetency above that? Does he do something that is problematic toward winning more games?
I don't think so at all. And I think, again, it gets into that whole debate about the quarterback and the many, many other variables that lead to winning. I personally believe Matthew Stafford has special talents. And I think we've seen his physical tools over the years. I think we've seen his toughness and competitiveness over the years. So I really like Stafford based on tape study. That's all I'm responding to, based on tape study. And I've heard he's a very smart player. So I think Matthew Stafford, see, to me, and I don't know how you feel about this, Colin, we know the way NFL teams hoard draft choices, but if it's between drafting Wilson from BYU and trading for Matthew Stafford, I'm trading for Matthew Stafford in a heartbeat because I've seen him play at the NFL level at a really high level. I don't know about Wilson or Justin Fields. I don't know what they're going to do in the NFL.
Good stuff. All right, I want to ask you about this. Aaron Rodgers, a lot of people were upset with Matt LaFleur. And then I said, listen, inside the 10-yard line, Green Bay was 2 for 9, 1 for right. 7 going to Devontae Adams. Aaron also had an opportunity to run. He didn't. So when you looked at it, we can blame.
Sure.
He got 3 interceptions from his defense in the second half. 2 times he was 3 and out.
Right.
So did Aaron, is Aaron culpable at all for the loss? How did he play? What did the film say, especially in the red zone or down inside the 10?
Well, obviously they called pass plays and they threw it to Devontae Adams, which they've done all year. And people have said, boy, that's great. And then when it doesn't work in the NFC Championship game, people say, well, that's a bad idea. So I guess which way do you want to have it? I mean, he threw it to Devontae Adams on one that Adams normally would make that catch. These are access to the result statements, as you know, Colin, and that's what we do. We talk about this after it happens, and because it doesn't happen, we say it's bad. But all year long, he's thrown the ball to Devonta Adams in the red zone, and they've been very, very good in the red zone. This time, it didn't work. So does that mean that it's Matt LaFleur's fault? I really struggle with that kind of analysis. you know, and again, that play where everybody thought Rodgers could walk in, we don't know that. And he obviously didn't think he could because he tried to make a very difficult throw.
Yeah.
So I'll defer to Aaron Rodgers on that and his belief that he felt that that throw, which was difficult, had a greater likelihood of succeeding than him running. But I think you can't say that, well, gee, they threw it to Devonta Adams too much. That's what they've done all year, and they were successful doing it.
You know, I had Tom House on the other day. He has been Tom Brady's personal throwing coach.
A lot of guys.
And Tom's a wonderful guy, and he's had a lot of these guys. And I asked him. He had responded to me on social media when I said, I'm tired of hearing out about Brady's arm being an issue. I think he threw.
Not at all.
I thought his velocity against the Green Bay was, like, at times too fast for Tyler Johnson. Go back 10 years. I mean, obvious. I mean, it's really funny. I said if I didn't know who Tom Brady was and I watched him, I wouldn't think he's 43. I would just say, you know, there's a kind of a pocket quarterback guy. But you're watching him. You're watching him Sunday. What did you see?
Oh, I didn't think Brady played real well by any means. But if you're just talking about his physical traits, I don't think there's a drop-off in his traits at all. And actually, that game started out with them converting 3rd-and-longs on the first series of the game, and that in some way set the tone for the game. But there's nothing wrong with his arm. Brady is about repetitive mechanics. He's always been about that. And see, quarterbacks that don't move, and there's this belief now that the Tom Brady's of the world, there won't be many of those guys coming into the NFL, that you need to have second reaction off-schedule ability. But here's the difference, and it's funny, we started with Deshaun Watson, and he's a great player. That's not my point. Now we're just talking about quarterback play. Is Deshaun Watson will leave throws on the field because he leaves the pocket too early. He'll compensate at times and camouflage for that because he can then make outside of structure plays. Brady stays in the pocket and therefore gets to throws and makes throws that Deshaun Watson won't get to. So now you have to decide, what do you view as more important? Or maybe it's one isn't as important. It's just the way it is. But quarterbacks like Brady, they stay in the pocket and they deliver the football, and because he's not looking to run. He doesn't have that parachute.
So when I watched the Bills in Kansas City, you give me the answer to the question. It was, were the Bills too Josh Allen dependent, or is the Kansas City Chiefs defense really, really underrated because Buffalo was on the bad side of a 38-6 run in that football
game? Well, I think that there's a couple of things about Steve Spagnuolo's defense that it's overlooked because of Patrick Mahomes. Number one, they're a high-pressure defense. They blitz a lot. Number two, they play more man coverage than people think, and they play it well with corners that not a lot of people know about. Ward on one side, Breland on the other. They don't match up. They've gotten a really good year from the rookie Snead. So they play a lot more man coverage than people think. But they're also very multiple with their coverage concepts, and they play a lot of zone concepts, and Tyrann Mathieu is the reason they can do all that because he's so good. So what you saw was really sticky, to use Tony Romo's word, sticky man coverage. And Josh Allen did miss some throws in this game. There were a couple of times where they got him, too. They baited him into some throws where they showed something pre-snap and then disguise and late movement. And that's tough. It's tough for every quarterback. But they're high-pressure defense. And I'm sure Spags believes he can be high-pressure because his feeling is, so what if I give one up? My guy's going to put up 35. Who cares?
I mean, that's so true.
Yeah, I mean, really.
Yeah. All right. Your big play is some Patrick Mahomes, and we always want to see that.
Well, we're going to do a little tutorial here, Colin, of an RPO, because we've reached the point where every time there's a fake handoff in the backfield in the shotgun, the announcer tells us it's an RPO, and that's not the case. So let's take a look at the Tyreek Hill 71-yard play from that game, the AFC Championship game against Buffalo. And here it is. And obviously, this was a killer for Buffalo. It's a 6-yard pass, and it becomes a 71-yard gain because of Hill's dynamic run after catch ability. But this was a true RPO. And the way you can tell that is with the offensive line. Look at the offensive line, the right side of their line, and the back Williams. The right side of their line, starting with the offensive center, they're going to run block. And you can see that clearly. They are run blocking. And Williams clearly in the backfield makes it look like he's taking a sweep to that side. So there you get the run part of the RPO. Now, when you switch to the other side of the offensive line, the left tackle and the left guard, what they do, Colin, is they pass protect. So you get one side run blocking, you get the other side pass protecting. So now that's the RPO concept. So it's not just that there's a fake handoff in the backfield. So now what we'll do is we'll switch angles. Okay, and now you're going to see Mahomes obviously in the gun. Now the pass part of this, besides the pass protection, is Tyreek Hill in the slot is going to run a quick slant. So how does Patrick Mahomes decide what he's going to do? He reads the linebacker, Tremaine Edmonds, who's right in front of him in his vision. And as he takes the snap and he sees Edmonds immediately move to his left, he knows that the passing lane to Hill on the slant is there. So that is a true run-pass option with the offensive line both run-blocking and pass-protecting. Patrick Mahomes reading the Mike linebacker who tells him where to throw the football.
All got smarter. Good stuff, Greg Cosell. We will talk soon, Greg. Thanks again on a Thursday.
All right, Colin. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Peter Schrager stops by. The very latest on Deshaun Watson and that trade. Schrags, as you know, is always buttoned up and has great information.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Saturday, Caleb Plant, one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in boxing, puts his perfect record and super middleweight title on the line against Cable Truax. Caleb Truax, Saturday at 8 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
I like Caleb. Caleb Coward. You know what? In my second career, I may go with that. Oh, I forgot. I'm going to be Sky Bannister.
Yeah, that's Sky Bannister.
That's my name.
Sky Bannister has to wear like a bow tie or something.
Well, I always said if I was to do it all over again, I would very quickly change my name to Sky Bannister. That's the best broadcasting name. Nobody's ever used it.
That's such a serious broadcaster name, though.
I mean, if I literally started the show, hi, it's Sky Bannister, people would just flock to it. The numbers, I mean, we do well, but it sounds so big.
You can't miss the Sky Bannister broadcast.
All right. By the way, Black Rifle Coffee Company, veteran-owned coffee company serving premium coffee to people who love America. Go to blackriflecoffee.com/herd. Get 20% off your first coffee club order. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Texans have reportedly hired Ravens assistant David Culley to be their next head coach. He's been a coach in the NFL for 27 seasons, but has never held a coordinator position. He spent the last 2 years in Baltimore, and John Harbaugh gave Culley a strong endorsement, saying he would be a tremendous hire for any team. Obviously, Deshaun Watson, according to Schefter this morning, has requested a trade from the Texans. Apparently, this happened weeks ago, and their hire was not going to have anything to do with him staying or not. This makes more sense now that we know that Deshaun Watson had asked for a trade a few weeks ago as to why Eric Bieniemy.
So I saw the list today of the people interviewed.
Yeah.
I had heard of all of them and would have approved of all of them except this hire. So either I could be wrong. I've been way wrong before. I didn't think Kevin Durant was going to work with the Warriors. I'm reminded from time to time I said that. So I could be terribly wrong, but I think of the hires, Dan Campbell to the Lions and this to the Texans, Mr. Culley, don't feel right for me.
Well, I'm rooting for this to work, but the situation provides that really anyone that was hired here wasn't going to work.
Well, not without Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson is leaving, which means your most important position and the cornerstone to which you build your entire franchise around is not going to be there.
Now, what if the Texans say we're not trading you? We're just not going to do it.
It's going to get really ugly.
Yeah, that, by the way, that's a possibility. We're just not going to do it.
I don't see that happening. I don't. Deshaun Watson's not going to be
bullied.
He's not going to be bullied, and he's not going to ask for a trade if there's not a clear window for him to get out. And so we've talked about this leading up to this situation. This is a very kind of rare circumstance where a player is very aggressively asking for a trade and everyone isn't against him. especially in the NFL. Well, this happens in the NBA all the time. And, you know, some fans will be against it. I didn't love how Harden forced his way out of Houston.
Yeah, that was still choppy.
But we'll get over it. And then, you know, if they end up winning, it doesn't matter.
Right.
But this is a very unique situation. He's very young. He's a star. And he's carried the franchise. But his reputation and his ability have erased any of the ugliness of asking for a trade.
A lot of this is Cal McNair. You know, he's become the My Pillow guy of NFL owners. He's just I'm seeing too much of him. So Cal McNair, his father passed away, and several years ago he took control and he made a huge mistake. He gave Bill O'Brien, who won divisions. Bill O'Brien can coach. Nick Saban just hired him, so Bill O'Brien is not incompetent. Bill O'Brien can coach, but Cal McNair, instead of hiring a real GM, let Bill O'Brien be a GM, and like Belichick, we're seeing now as him GM. He whiffed on some trades. He whiffed on some draft picks. And that is not Bill O'Brien's fault. They offered him GM. He got more power, and he accepted it. But this starts at the top. Let's stop blaming players. And there are times to blame players.
Right.
This is about Cal McNair hiring Jack Easterby and everybody saying, get me out of here.
It's very obvious that this is a dysfunctional situation. And you're right. It does start with ownership.
Yes.
Bill O'Brien should have never taken the GM job.
It's
very tempting when you are offered power to not take it.
Fair.
So it's understandable. Someone's like, you can control everything and make all of the decisions and have the bottom line and the last say. It's very hard to turn that down.
We were talking about this morning. Let's say the Murdoch family said, oh, Colin, you now are going to run Fox Sports and do this. It'd be very hard for me to not say, that's delicious. But in the end, this show would get worse.
Right.
And I would ruin the other part.
Everything's going to suffer.
Okay. So, but I'm good at, I think I'm pretty good at this. So Bill O'Brien was good at the coaching stuff.
Yeah.
They offered him power. That Cal McNair, maybe going cheap, maybe not wanting to relinquish even more power, said, I'll just give it to this guy because I can control him. And in the end, this is what happens. This is an ownership issue. This is not a Deshaun Watson issue.
It's two different jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
So to your point, one of them is going to suffer because there's a whole other person that should be dedicating all of their time and energy to being the GM of the team. You can't do that. You're spread too thin and it backfired. And that's on ownership. That's not Deshaun Watson's call. And then you go to Deshaun Watson and say you're going to involve him, and then you don't and go hire Nick Caserio, which he finds out about on social media. No one rationally would sit here and be like, yeah, Deshaun Watson should continue to spend years of the prime of his star career in this dumpster fire situation where, to your point, the MyPillow guy, or that's not the MyPillow guy, but Jack Easterby, which no one can explain the presence of other than the almighty, is running the organization and has the direct ear of the owner. So I hope that David Culley has some success there, but he has a very tall mountain to climb. And part of that might be that they want a coach who's just going to coach and doesn't want to be involved in any of the personnel or front office decisions. So the Patriots missed Tom Brady this year. I think that's safe to say. 7-9, worst record since 2000. And going into the 2021 season, Patriots insider Tom Curran believes the team is going to try and make some big moves. He said, everything I am hearing from down there is that the Patriots are going to be extremely and uncharacteristically aggressive in this offseason.
Oh, that's tasty, isn't it?
Well, if you look at the situation in 2020, they did have 8 opt-outs, which we did not talk about very much. We mentioned, you know, early in the season, but 8 opt-outs before the season started. That's the most in the NFL. Dont'a Hightower, Patrick Chung, Marquise Lee, Marcus Cannon, Brandon Bolden, Danny Vitale, Matt LaCrosse, Najee Torrin all opted out. So they're all coming back next year. That's a lot of players. Julian Edelman missed the last 10 games of the season with a knee injury. Isaiah Wynn missed the last 6 games. They have the fourth most cap space in the league entering next season. The only teams with more are the Jags, Colts, and Jets.
Listen, they could solve a lot with 2 moves. Get the tight end from Florida and get Deshaun Watson. Suddenly, they'd have a good O-line, a good defense, a lot of guys opting back. That would solve their stuff.
There is the Caserio New England tie. So
yeah, I mean, it's
not out of the realm of possibility. And I still am in the camp that Bill Belichick has some sort of a plan. Like, I don't think I know that the Mac Jones thing keeps coming up, and there is the Saban Belichick relationship, but I don't see Bill Belichick, especially after everything that happened with Tom Brady this year, starting over with a rookie quarterback, and I don't see it. I don't. I think what Tom is saying is true. Like, they're going to be extremely aggressive.
Extremely aggressive is not staying at 15 and drafting Mac Jones.
Right.
That's not aggressive.
The AFC East is not the same anymore. The Jets are completely starting over with complete rebuild.
I've been doing this now. How long have you been doing this? 10, 15
Since
years?
Since 2007.
So okay. Yeah. So 13 years. I've been doing, add 10 to that and more. I do not remember in my life having a free agent and draft quarterback market. We could have 9 to 11 teams with either a star quarterback, a good quarterback, a star potential rookie quarterback. This is like NBA. It's crazy.
There's two things that I always felt the NFL should kind of, and the NFL is great at adapting to things, but two things the NBA does really well, and in some ways it, you know, changes the landscape of it, of the culture of it, but they do elevate their stars, so you know who the stars are.
Yeah, promote them.
They promote them and encourage that. And the free agency is, like, in some ways bigger than the regular season.
The transactional, NBA transactional business is very strong.
Huge.
Now, their transactional game is better than their regular season.
Right. The NBA, well, we don't want that.
Right.
We don't want that. But the other thing we never used to have in the NFL, what we have now, is quarterbacks moving.
It's great.
So Matthew Stafford is on the trading block, and he's already getting a lot of interest around the league. A third of the NFL teams reportedly reached out to the Lions to discuss a potential trade. He spent all 12 years of his career in Detroit. He leads the franchise in every major passing category. He has 2 years remaining on his current contract, $43 million. So a new team would be on the hook for $20 million in 2021 and $23 million in 2022.
That's Goff's numbers. It's not that punitive. Matt Stafford's absolutely worth $23. My knock is, I got 12 years. You're not winning ever. Like, you got to win more games.
That's why I said I'm so, so interested to see what he does with another team.
Yeah.
Because so many people talk about talented he is and what he's capable of. And we just heard Greg talking about, like, what he is on tape.
Cosell loves him.
I loves him. So I can't wait
to
see what he does.
Loved Tracy McGrady. Everybody did. And by the way, you watch his highlights. A lot of people thought he's more talented than Kobe. But Kobe willed his way to win a lot.
There is another
level
that you have to get to.
Chris Paul's got it.
And I think that's the question of, is that Detroit that is keeping him from getting to that next level, or is it him? And I can't wait to see what he does with another team. Because once he gets to another team, we're going to really be able to see.
So good. Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live News.
It's interesting. So the stories are coming out. God, I am so thankful for the NFL. They're just a content machine. So the Rams, they've let this out. They're expected to have an open quarterback competition next year between Jared Goff and some guy who played in the AAF. Why is that story out? Because the Rams wanted Goff and his agent to redo the contract. The agent said no. And so they're just making things difficult. It's what companies do. So it's interesting, though. I thought about this. Some of this is, L.A. is very different right now. The Dodgers are a huge brand in L.A. I mean, they draw like 5 million people. And it's the best team they've maybe ever had. The Lakers are a huge brand in L.A., bigger than any NFL team's ever been. And they have their best team since Shaq and Kobe. And now Kawhi is winning. But let's stay on Lakers-Dodgers. So that's what the Rams are competing against. Stan Kroenke is the richest owner in the NFL. He has no interest being the third most known brand in the city. I went for a walk yesterday in my neighborhood. I saw 3 Dodger hats. We're in football season. Dodgers are huge. The Lakers are huge. Stan Kroenke's like, the NFL's the number one team, even in Boston. It's even in a baseball-obsessed city. And I'm 3. And now Justin Herbert walks into town with a big arm and a ton of buzz, and I share the stadium, and my quarterback doesn't talk. You don't see number 16 jerseys in L.A. There's no buzz about him. We're kind of good but not great, and we're boring. And some of it is, listen, Goff doesn't fit McVay's offense. Like, I get what they're doing. They got pressure from Stan Kroenke, who spent $3.5 billion more in the stadium than he wanted to, and nobody could go to it. So there's some financial pressure. And then they're like, listen, LeBron's not going away. We're going up. The Lakers now are owning us. The Dodgers are owning us. The Chargers now have this stud quarterback. And we're good, not special, and we're kind of boring. And I get it. And, you know, the other thing is, you sit around and you look at this thing, Joy. The Niners have top five Super Bowl odds with Garoppolo. What if they upgrade at quarterback? Kyler Murray made a huge jump year one to year two. Russell Wilson's not going away. So this is why you're seeing the Rams. It's like, wasn't he in the Super Bowl 2 years ago? Listen, LeBron's changed it. The Dodgers have changed it. Justin Herbert's changed it. You got an owner who spent $3.5 to $4 billion more in the stadium, and he can't get people in it. Well, then you better have number 16 jerseys, and we better be great. And there's a lot of pressure on these Rams. And I think, you know, it's just, this market now is so hot, everybody wins. You know, we say what we want about the Clippers, but they're now the hottest team in the NBA. And LAFC wins. There's a lot of pressure in Los Angeles right now. If they did a movie poster, you know, it'd be McVay, Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, and say also starring Jared Goff. So either Goff's going to take a pay cut, and we can handle that. But if we're going to pay him big, then he's got to be great, and we've got to be more buzz. Because right now, the Chargers and Justin Herbert, that's the job people lined up for. Peter Schrager is right around the corner. In Los Angeles, it's The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Find the perfect bouquet, 1-800-FLOWERS, 24 multicolored roses, $29.99, or upgrade to 24 red roses, $10 more, 1-800-FLOWERS.com, code H-E-R-D. Peter Schrager, Fox Sports NFL reporter, now joining us on a crazy, hectic day. Let's start with this. Deshaun Watson. If San Francisco would be ideal in terms of, I mean, they'd be a Super Bowl favorite with Kansas City. Doubt that happens. Is there an ideal landing spot or a leader in the clubhouse to you, Schrags?
I actually think San Francisco would be a phenomenal place for Deshaun Watson. We've never seen the Kyle Shanahan offense with a quarterback that can actually move outside the pocket like that. Garoppolo's fine and he's mobile enough, but the Shanahan offense essentially is what you see in Green Bay. It's what you see in San Francisco and what you see in Los Angeles. Jared Goff and Jimmy Garoppolo are fine, but they're relatively statues when it comes to mobile quarterback play. Aaron Rodgers is far better outside the pocket. You put one of these dynamic talents like Deshaun Watson in the Los Angeles or San Francisco offense, then lights out. I think it would be a dream come true. So those two places to me would be incredible. The Rams and the 49ers would make the NFL a very interesting place. I'm just not sure either one of those teams has the capital to go get this guy.
The Jets do. How possible do you think it is?
Oh, I mean, look, they made a splash when they went and they got Robert Saleh a couple of weeks ago. The Jets fans were up in a tizzy. Now, here's the thing. You look at this team, Sam Darnold's been good. I know you're a fan. I'm a fan. Love the kid. Has Sam Darnold shown that he is a lights out franchise quarterback, is going to win a Super Bowl for you? Do the Jets get drunk on the idea of being popular in this market and the fan base loving the coaching hire and doubling down and saying, let's give everything we can for Deshaun Watson? Now, here's the key. Texans aren't the ones saying we're shopping Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson saying I want out of here. So the Texans, what are they getting in return? They would need a quarterback back in that deal. Is Sam Darnold going to energize that fan base? I'm not sure. Is the number two overall pick going to energize that fan base? Well, franchise quarterbacks don't grow on trees. They're really hard to come by, and they have one now in-house. Before you see Deshaun Watson traded, I assure you that Cal McNair, the owner, the new coach, David Cullen, these guys, and Nick Caserio and Jack Easterby, they're going to do everything in their power to repair this relationship. I thought it was interesting because all the insiders came out with the same exact report at the same exact time at 10:30 a.m. Eastern today, and it's Deshaun Watson is requesting a trade. I find that verbiage very interesting. It's not demanding a trade. It's requesting a trade. To me, the door is still open. Figure this thing out. He might be unhappy, but we got to find a way. You can't just trade Deshaun Watson. He's one of those few quarterbacks in the league that you build a franchise around.
Matt Stafford, according to reports, a third of the league is interested. I still contend you got to win more. I understand if you can't beat Aaron Rodgers, you got to be able to beat the Bears and Vikings. He's got a losing record against them in 12 years. If the Colts are ready to win a Super Bowl now with the right quarterback. I don't see them going to the market, the draft for that. I think they want somebody they feel can insert and has played in a bunch of big games. Well, that feels right to me, Colt Stafford. We know he's not going to be in Detroit. Well, what do you hear?
Okay, so I'm with you on the it's time to change things up if you're Detroit and if you're Stafford. 12 years, no playoff wins. At some point, you look in the mirror and say, okay, is this working? I'm not sure, though, I'm with you that like it's on Matt Stafford that they haven't won. So if you're another team that's a veteran quarterback away, why not roll the dice on this guy? Everyone speaks the world of him. You know Greg Cosell has done the film, and he's in love with him. But his teammates are, too. Like, I work with Nate Burleson on the NFL Network show, and it's as if Stafford could do no wrong. I'm like, you guys never won anything. Like, what are you raving about Stafford? Imagine you played with another. He's like, no, it wasn't Stafford. There was a million reasons why. We won despite a lot of other things. So the toughness, the leadership, good personality in the locker room, never throws that team under the bus. So I look at a team like the Patriots. I would say they have veteran. I don't, you know, Belichick doesn't want to start all over right now at this age. I'd look at a team like the Colts. I'll throw another one in the mix. Let's go in the division. Chicago Bears are pretty close this year.
Yeah.
To the playoffs. They're done with Trubisky. That's pretty clear. They're going to be big players in this market. When you say they're big players, who else is there besides Deshaun Watson if you're a big player? I think Matthew Stafford in a Bears uniform might not make Lions fans want to vomit. It also might make a lot of sense. I think that they're ready to have a real quarterback in Chicago and a guy that they could say, okay, at least we know we can go to war with all the big dogs with this guy.
It's so fascinating to me. So I've kind of theorized why I think it's possible. Stan Kroenke spent $3 to $4 billion more than he wanted to, can't get fans in the arena. The Dodgers and Lakers now own the front page and talk radio in town. They're good. They're not special. I don't think Goff works with McVay's offense. I think they want to redo the contract, and Goff's agent said, take a hike. I don't know. I mean, just, I have not, this is supposed to be a pro player franchise, and they're calling Goff out all week in the press. What do you make of it?
Well, look, they put Les Snead in a spot in the local media, and they said, is Jared Goff going to be in this team? And he's like, he's a Ram for now. And that kind of quote, when you're dealing with a first overall pick with a $130 million contract, is going to read. Look, his extension hasn't even kicked in yet. So there is a financial burden that they have with Jared Goff right now. You also need to find a trade partner. I'm not sure there's a long list of trade partners for Jared Goff. I don't know if you're selling your fan base on Jared Goff. If he's not something that the Rams necessarily are lining up to get behind, then why should we as a young team or a team that's a quarterback away? I find it really interesting because the open competition between John Wolford and Jared Goff, you can roll your eyes on it. But I think if Wolford was healthy, he was starting against the Packers in Lambeau. I honestly do.
Yeah.
Jared Goff played his butt off. He played with 9 fingers, including on his throwing hand, no thumb, and went 21 to 26 and was a couple possessions away from beating the Packers in Lambeau. So Goff showed me a ton of toughness. I think around the league, people were impressed with him. But when John Wolford is viewed as potentially a better option to start in a playoff game than number one overall pick, I think it's loud and clear how some folks in that organization feel about him. I just don't know how this ends because I don't think McVay and Goff are exactly best buddies right now, or at least writing each other pen pal notes as we head into the offseason.
Peter Schrager, what room are you in? It's got a big poster behind you. Where are you at?
Do you like this? Got this in my Brooklyn apartment. I put a new TV behind me, and I can do this mirroring thing. I thought Mahomes Winfield was a good black and white shot. What do you think? It looks pretty good.
It looks very like you're in the Hall of Fame or something.
Trying to up my game just a little bit. Usually it's a crying 4-year-old coming in here asking me to watch Paw Patrol, but we'll deal with this instead.
Good job, Shrakes.
Thanks, Colin.
New York Times bestseller, Out of the Blue. You've been covering the NFL for 15 years. Good dude. Knows his stuff. That was interesting. He threw Stafford to the Bears. Well, I mean, listen, Detroit's done with him. So what if Chicago, in division, it doesn't generally work?
Yeah, that's the only reason why I wouldn't see it. Is
I know. When he said that, I was like, wait a minute. Nobody wants to do that.
Nobody.
The story of the day is also Tom Curran saying the Patriots are going to be super aggressive in the offseason.
That makes sense to me. They have to be. What's the other option?
When's free? Hey, Goulet, when's free agency start in the NFL? March something. Because what I may do is after the Super Bowl, I may just talk Monday and just leave until free agency. Because free agency is going to be insane.
The speculation about where people are going to go is as fun as finding out where
it's gossip.
Yeah.
I mean, why can't we be journalists and gossip a little?
I want to hit on the record, I do not identify as a journalist.
Yeah. You see, McAfee came back at us yesterday. A little bit of a border skirmish.
I didn't see.
We were holding McAfee's journalism.
We're fellow Yinzers, so.
He's very
funny. We'll have to take a look at that.
It's all in good fun, folks. Thankfully, Pat gets that. He does. Penguins, Bruins tonight. Discover card key matchup. Discover matches all the cash back you've earned into your first year. Cashback match only by Discover card. Discover something brighter. Oh, I'm probably wearing people out on all this speculation. But when you come to the show, we give you some news, some journalism, some gossip.
This is the best time ever for anyone whose team is not in the Super Bowl. The possibilities are endless.
It's so much fun. By the way, congrats to the Sixers last night. The Lakers almost pulled that off.
That was a great
Lakers
game.
Were asleep until about 4 minutes left. They start jacking up threes and hitting them. And you look up and you're like, 4 seconds left. The Lakers lead. Then Tobias Harris hit that good jumper.
Yeah.
So the Lakers were going to win their, was it 10th straight road win? But they went down to defeat last night to the very talented Philadelphia 76ers. Hour 3 and a good one next.